You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And by the way, we have a really special guest with us tonight, so you'll want to be sure you stay tuned in for the whole show. Okay, now, our members know about this, because they would have been involved in it. If you're not a member of the Kevin Smith Show members area, then you don't know about it. But you need to know about it. As you know, on the first Saturday night of each month, I go into the chat room, and we spend a couple of hours in there. I just hang out in there a couple of hours, and we chat. And members from all over the world drop in, and we just chat. We have a good time. Well, when it came time, and the chat room was working fine, came time for us to do our chat, which it happens at the same time as the show starts. In other words, it's on Saturday night, but it's at the same time you sit down and listen to the show. Okay? So when it was time, the chat room was frozen up. Nobody could get in. And it stayed frozen until just after the time we would have ended. And plus, over a 60-hour period, starting last week and into the weekend, over a 60-hour period, I had to reinstall all of the software, all of it, from bare minimum zero, from nothing, all the way back up, on two of the computers, three times. Our network was being hit, and it was being hit hard. Now, some of this is traceable, and some of it isn't. Some of it was traceable out to a foreign country that you all have heard a lot about them being involved in internet espionage. And then some of it was traceable to right here in the United States. And then some of it was not traceable beyond very much further. But I just wanted to give you the update. They just don't get it. Whoever they are, they don't. I've been dealing with this for 9 years. I'm still here. I'm not going away. I am a freaking fact of life, and I'm not going away. And you know, they can't win. I don't know why they keep it up. But I will say this. I will say that we were somewhat successful in identifying at least some of the computers involved in this. And sooner or later, the American people will have had enough of being bullied around. And those who are trying to do it are going to have to dance to the devil's tune. It will not be pleasant. Some people hate freedom, you know. Some people absolutely hate freedom. And because they hate freedom, they try to stop freedom of speech. Well, not going to happen. There is one talk show host that's gone out of business. He's announced, that's it. I'm calling it a day. I've had enough. And he just doesn't want to put up with that grind anymore. Well, I've got nothing to do except play major leagues. Bring it on, boys. You're in my major league now. All right. We'll be back with Dick Criswell right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. And you know what's so cool about that is, first of all, Dick is a friend. He's my friend. He's a friend of this show. You know, we have nearly lost Dick Criswell over the past few months. He had a heart attack and then had to have massive surgery, very major surgery. And did not even see his house for about 6 months, and had to be in the hospital. He's been recovering. Now, the last time he talked with us, he was just about ready to get out of the hospital, but he talked with us from his hospital room. Well, Dick Criswell is home from the hospital, and I know he is delighted to be home. He's been home a few days, gaining strength. And there's just really, truly no place like home. He's a longtime UFO researcher and investigator, a former member of the AlphaCom team. He has above top secret clearance, and he is the founder of the International Paranormal and UFO. I got it all messed up, Dick. I apologize. International Paranormal UFO Society. It's IPUS, I-P-U-S. Oh, my. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Dick, I apologize for messing up the name of the organization so bad, but I got the initials right, I-P-U-S.
Got it right.
Yeah. How does it feel to be home, man?
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I got tired of looking at that hospital room, and now I'm home, and I got to see out my windows and see my lake out back and all the birds, and I mean it's just wonderful.
I'll tell you what, even your voice is stronger than it was when you talked with us last time.
Well, believe me, I've went through pure hell, basically. I think if somebody tried to kill me, they missed the boat.
Well, some of us are just tough old birds. We're hard to kill. All right. Dick, while you were in the hospital, we talked about this some last time. I want us to just sort of get an update on this, if there is one. While you were in the hospital, you were visited by a witness of the Kokomo UFO incident. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. He was basically a firefighter. And he actually told me that he actually touched the craft. And I found this is an update. There are three other witnesses that I didn't know anything about until he started talking to us a little bit, and we're trying to track them down and see if we can find out any more on that Kokomo thing, because I think that was one of the best cases that was tried to be covered up, and they didn't get it done.
All right, now let's go back to the Kokomo event. Some people will not know about this, but this was an event where UFOs were seen in the sky. They appeared to be engaging in a dogfight, and a beam of light or something came out of one of them, struck another one, and the one that got struck headed to the ground, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
And there were witnesses to this. Now, when did this happen?
This happened, it was April of last year that it happened. And as a matter of fact, preceding this, we had an earthquake that was tied into it. I found out later.
Okay, now, you say it was tied into it. Do you mean it happened at the same time, or there was some connection?
There was some connection, and there was about 7 or 8 witnesses that had told me that they had seen UFOs in the area just before this earthquake happened.
All right. So the UFOs are in the area, then there's an earthquake, and then there's a dogfight.
Yep.
All right, now, this firefighter, how did he come to the place where he could touch a UFO? What happened? How did he get involved in this?
Well, they were called out over some, he told me that they were called out over a crash. Originally, when they heard that big boom in the area, they had said that there was a downed craft. So these guys come out in the fire engines and were looking around, and he actually spotted it along with some of his friends. And that's when he touched the craft.
Okay, so it's on the ground, and they walked up to it. Did he describe its shape? What did it look like?
He said it looked like a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it wasn't the triangle that we're talking about that, you know, that we seen in Stevensville. This was it was a little smaller than that, but basically similar.
Mm-hmm. But even though he said it was smaller than the one in Stevensville, he still gave dimensions, I believe, of 300 feet across, right?
Right, right, right.
That's pretty big.
Yes. Yes, it is pretty big. Some of the ones in Stevensville were bigger than that. And but he said it was basically the same kind of triangular shape that mm-hmm. they had talked about in the Stevensville incident.
Did he say what color this craft was?
It was a gray, a dark gray.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was definitely metallic all the way through. And he said he couldn't see any windows in it or anything, but he said the thing hummed when he had his hand on it.
When he says it hummed, is he talking, did he describe the hum? Did it sound like electronics humming?
He said it was electronic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was generated by something, but he said it was like nothing that he could ever, you know, relate to me, like a hum off of a high-tension wire or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was nothing like that. He said it was a hum that he don't think that he could reproduce.
I see. All right, now when he touched it, was it hot or cold?
Cold to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
Cold to the touch.
How long did this firefighter have this UFO in his sight? How long did he see it?
You mean after it took off?
No.
Or when
from
it
the
landed?
From the time he first saw it till the time he didn't see it anymore. How long did
okay.
he see it?
He said it would have been about. He said it would have been about 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay, so there's absolutely in that period of time, absolutely a minuscule. And I'm saying this for our skeptics in the audience. There's a minuscule to zero chance that this is a hallucination, especially since it was also seen by other firefighters, right?
That's correct.
Also, the police showed up, did they not?
That is correct, yes, but they, I couldn't get any police up there, and this guy had a friend on the police department, and he wouldn't talk to us.
I'm not surprised. I'll tell you, out here, Dick, I was talking with a UFO witness, someone who saw a pretty spectacular UFO out here, and it was not the Phoenix Lights incident. It was something else out south of town, and he called the sheriff's office, and this thing was just hovering up above his property way out in the country, and I've been to the property. And it was a triangular shape, and it was just hovering. And he said it was about 200 feet up and not very far. And so the sheriff's department came out, the deputy came out, and he said, I just want someone else to see this. He told the deputy this. I just want someone else to see this. I just want it documented and want someone else to see it. And he said, do you see what I see? And the deputy said, yep. And he said, what do you think it is? He said, I don't know, and it's not going in any report of mine. And he got in his car and left.
See, and that's 90% of the problem, because they just ignore it, because either they have been told to or they don't want to get involved.
Well, yeah, it could be all of that. It can also be that whether we like it or not, if a deputy reports something like this, he's afraid that it's going to affect his career path. He may not get the promotions that he wanted. He may even lose his job. And I think that's really sad, because all it takes is for someone to get a big bite out of one sheriff's rear end in court. Just put him on the witness stand and prove that you only reported what he sent you to take a look at. And if he doesn't like what you saw, that's not your fault. But you prove that it was that other people saw it, you saw it, and you win your lawsuit. And, you know, you get a big bite out of one sheriff's rear, and the others are lining up.
That's correct. I just wish we could get that one out, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, you know, when you grab anybody, but especially a politician, you grab them by their wallet, their mind is sure to follow.
You're right.
Yeah, and a sheriff, and see, a sheriff is first a politician. Some people don't know that. It's an elected office, and he is first and foremost a politician. And secondarily, oh yeah, by the way, he got elected to enforce laws. But it's an elected position, and so he's first and foremost a politician, and every single day he's running for re-election.
That's right, and also, if some of the people don't know, he's also the highest official in the county.
Yeah.
The sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely true. Within the county, he's the closest thing you've got to a king.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the firefighter, how old a guy is this?
He's about 35 years of age.
Okay. So this is, we couldn't attribute, if we were just going to be skeptical about this, we couldn't attribute this to senility. He's not senile. Can't attribute this to hallucinations. Other people saw it.
You know, the thing about it, I look for, just kind of like you do, you know, look if the guy's looking me straight in the eye, and you can tell if they're nervous or whatever. I've learned that over the years. You get a feeling whether they're telling the truth. And since there were other witnesses, I don't have any thing to say that he wasn't telling the truth, because some of these others had confirmed that they had seen it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard what I said about the attacks that we've been under. Again, it's nothing new. This has been going on ever since you've known me. But you've heard me talk about that.
Yes, I have.
And I'll tell you, Dick, what I think it is, and it plays into what we're talking about here. See, I don't think it's because we talk about UFOs. A lot of shows do that. I don't think it's because we talk about paranormal phenomena. A lot of shows do that. I think it's because on this show, we ask deep questions, and we do critical thinking, and we peel away a lot of the nonsense, and the reality starts to show through, and I think that's what's got them nervous. All right, so let's peel away some of the nonsense that some people might imagine about this. How many people total reported seeing this UFO dogfight in Kokomo?
There was about 9 people that told me about it. That's why I made the statement, and I broke the story actually on your show.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's been broken anyplace else, because what happened is one guy knew who I was, and he called me, and then the others called me over a period of time and told me about this dogfight. So I had no reason to not believe it happened.
Mm-hmm. So you have different people from different parts of the area calling in and essentially telling the same story.
That is correct, yes.
What time of day was this UFO dogfight?
It was just before, I'm trying to remember when it was, but it was at just before daylight, and I guess it was darkness up there, and then the daylight come in, but I guess they could see the blue flashes coming out of these UFOs firing at each other.
Okay, so
I assumed that it was either at dawn or just, you know, just the darkness. But I got the report, I think, about 10 or 11 o'clock. I can't remember. I'd have to look back at my notes.
Your first report came in at about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now when the firefighter walked up to this thing, was it daylight by this point, or was it just sort of beginning to be daylight, or what was the deal?
Beginning to be daylight.
Okay.
Beginning to be daylight. So he said he reckons that it was probably about 6 o'clock or something like that in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That he walked upon it.
All right, now, how far was he standing from this object when it started to lift off and go back into the sky?
He had just turned his back, he said, when this thing lifted off, and he said he was probably no more than 20 or 30 feet from it when it took off.
All right, and there was no sound of an engine, just the hum?
Just the hum.
All right, what about the ground where this UFO had been? Were there any impressions left on the ground?
He said there was no impressions and no burn marks, so it was my interpretation that this was not, you know, nuclear or anything like that that had a exhaust system or anything like that. He said there was no burn marks or anything like that. So,
all right, we're 30 seconds away from our first break, and our second break rather, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Dick Criswell, and we'll get into this Kokomo sighting. Happened in April 2008. And we'll get into this a little bit deeper and a little bit more on the other side of this break. I also have some further questions that I want to ask him and probe a little deeper as we peel off layers of skeptolunacy nonsense. Just take away the reasons why people would be skeptical. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. And, Dick, we're talking about this Kokomo UFO incident. And we were talking about what were the conditions like. And we you were saying that the firefighter walked up to it and actually touched the thing. Did he walk around this the perimeter of this UFO as it was on the ground?
Yeah, he said he walked from the front of it to the back of it to the side of it just to see what he could see. He thought maybe, you know, there were like windows or something in this craft,
mm-hmm.
but he said he couldn't see anything because it was all kind of like dark gray.
The whole thing was dark gray.
The whole thing was dark gray.
Now, it's 300 feet across. How tall is it?
I think, I have to look at my notes, because I think he said it was like 2.5, 3 feet, something like that. It was kind of flat.
Okay. So it's pretty streamlined. Now, when it took off, describe the takeoff. What happened there?
He said it made a big hum, and it just took off like a bat out of hell. He said it was out of sight and nothing flat.
And what, did it go straight up, or did it fly out toward the...
He said it flew kind of sideways, and then it just kind of took like a straight flight like an airplane would, only he said it was fast.
And how high did it rise into the air before it took flight to the horizon?
He said he reckoned that it was about 600 feet in the air before it started flattening out and taking off straight.
Okay. All right. Now, you said there are three other witnesses that you're trying to track down and to talk to. Do you think, do you have any indication that they will talk to you?
I believe so. Two of them are firefighters, and the other one's a farmer that's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the two firefighters will talk to me because he indicated that he said this was too important just to be quiet about. Now, I don't know about the farmer. I haven't even talked to him, but I'm going to try to get in touch with him and see what I can find out from him.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now, while you were in the hospital, changing the subject a little bit, there was a big flap just before you got out of the hospital, a big flap, because a couple of guys said, you know what, all these UFOs that people have been seeing up in Morristown, New Jersey, we hoaxed them. And have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You had, since you've been home, have you had the chance to get on the computer and watch some of their videos that where they show how they hoaxed it?
I have not, mm-hmm. because I've had a barrage of people wanting me to investigate this and that and so forth, and I'm capable of doing limited things right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dick, I'm not saying that they didn't hoax it. But it was pretty interesting, for me it was interesting, to take the same standards that they apply, that skeptics apply, to any UFO report. And I'm certainly not against that. I think that the very highest standards should be applied to any UFO investigation. And you ought to try and prove it's something else if you can, because if you can, then it was something else. And when you've tried everything and nothing fits, then it is a UFO. Well, when you take the same high standards that they apply to UFO reports and apply it to their story of the hoax and to their evidence that they present, it fell apart. I was amazed when we started doing that, how rapidly and how badly their story falls apart. Now, they may actually be hoaxers. They may actually have done these hoaxes. But their evidence, with that evidence, you could not convict Jack the Ripper.
Uh-huh.
You could not convict someone who did a crime and got caught on videotape doing the crime with the evidence that these guys presented. I just sort of wondered if you had followed that case. But, you know, that's one of the things we do on this show. And I think one of the reasons we get targeted like we do for the interference, one of the things we do is do very in-depth critical thinking about a lot of this stuff. And I'll tell you something, Dick. I think personally, it's just a personal opinion, I think these guys have a long, long way to go before presenting an even slightly convincing case that those UFOs people saw was their work.
Right. Well, a lot of people have never seen a UFO. Mm-hmm. I personally have seen six of them, and I know that they weren't regular aircraft. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't move like regular aircraft. And, you know, that's a criteria that you look for because, you know, we know that airplanes fly straight most of the time unless they're coming down. And when they fly like they're, you know, like a diamond shape or fly erratic, you know, something's going on. And we can see them almost nightly here.
Mm-hmm.
The UFO thing is picked up. I haven't personally seen them, but there's several people that's members of my organization that have seen them. So it's picked up here.
Well, I know someone who has way above top secret clearance and has had for many years. And says that, talks about freely, seeing them all the time, and even talks about having been on board one of them when he was in the military.
Uh-huh.
And he still does very, very highly classified work. This guy is straight as he can be. But he talks about having actually been on board one of these craft, and it was not ours.
You don't imagine he'd take anybody with him, do you?
I would suspect not. I would suspect he would not.
Ah, darn.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about it is this. We're reaching a point of critical mass on the information, Dick. And what I mean by that is that there is so much information and so much really high quality information and evidence and so many testimonies from people with really impeccable credentials.
Oh, yeah.
That we're reaching this point of critical mass, meaning that it's just beyond, it's very rapidly becoming way beyond the possibility of continued cover-up.
Oh, yeah. And something that the listeners need to know is Obama would like to get to the bottom of this. Remember he said we're transparent?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you know he would like to get to the bottom of this?
How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. You know, I have some contacts, and the contacts told me that he's made the statement that he'd like to get to the bottom of it. And I said, have you actually heard him say that? And they said, oh, yeah. He said it in several different meetings. I said, where in the hell is the press when this goes on? And he says, oh, he says it when they're not around. And I said, see, there you go. I said, they've either been told to stay away or they just don't want to cover it.
Yeah, and it's really hard for me to figure the media out right now on this because, I mean, there are some small movements by the media toward doing good reporting on this. And I applaud every small step they take.
That's right.
But at the same time, they seem to be sort of entrenched in still trotting out their nonsense and their ha-ha-ha factor, their chuckle factor, and, you know, always spill a little bit of ridicule in every report. And, look, one of the worst that I've seen, some people choose their news channels like they choose their religion, and it's going to anger some people. But, I mean, look, CNN has a long track record of not doing very good reporting on UFOs. And they're not breaking with tradition. They salt and pepper it. There's a few pretty fair reports now and then lots of ridicule. But one of the worst that I have seen has been on Fox News. And their treatment of the whole subject is as if it is complete insanity.
Right.
And again, they've sprinkled it with, you know, there have been a few reports, but then after those reports and the majority takes over again, they ridicule the whole idea. And I wonder, Dick, what are they going to do? What are they going to do if one day this president or the next one steps to the microphone and says, folks, the time has come for us to tell you what we know, and then disclosure happens. At that point, I mean, these news agencies are already just hanging on by a thread. At that point, the threads are cut.
Uh-huh. Because they had the chance to tell you something, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've been caught like this many times. The American, various American media have been caught many, many times telling us things that turned out to be false or not telling us things that were important and we should have known.
Right. Exactly.
You know, we know this is interesting to me, and this has nothing to do with UFOs, but just an example. The American people know about radical Muslim insurgencies in various places around the world. They know about these things happening in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Darfur. They know about this. But if I had any money, which I don't, I would bet most, if not all of it, that we could not find 10% of the American people who know it's also happening in southern Thailand. And that's pretty interesting to me because that's been going on for years, and they don't report that.
Right, right. That's almost on a and this is not related either. This new swine flu that has crept up.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you somewhere because that was predicted in the 94. Piece of paper that I had seen that they'd like to have some kind of epidemic that they could shut schools down and all kinds of stuff. So this is nothing new. This is part of the Homeland Security, and I'll probably get a phone call.
Well, you probably will, but it'll have to wait till after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back more with Dick Criswell on the other side of this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. And, Dick, let's go back to Kokomo for a moment before we get to the end of this hour. Have there been, since April of 2008, have there been any more UFO incidents around the Kokomo area?
There's been sightings, Kevin, but nothing really you know, like dog fights or anything like that. I've got a lady that I know real well in the Kokomo area, and she pretty well keeps us up to date on her web page, and gives us all the reports and so forth up there. But there has only been sightings of UFOs, but nothing on the ground or nothing that they were shooting at each other or anything like that.
All right, now these UFOs that were on the opposite side, okay, we know what the one looks like that was on the ground. What about the others? Were they triangular shaped or were they oval or what were they?
That's very interesting. The ones that were shooting at this triangular shape were oval in shape, like a saucer, but they were more like a dome type shape.
Uh-huh.
They were shooting at this one that was triangular. So they must have been from a different tribe or something. Either that or it was advanced technique that they had on this triangular one to the dome shape, kind of like we have a 1988 car, and then we got a 2008. It might have been like that, but I wouldn't think that they were from the same place shooting at each other.
Now, when the firefighter walked up to this thing, did he have any impression? Did he get an impression about whether this was maybe one of our advanced, super top secret aircraft that he was looking at on the ground? Or did he get an impression that it maybe was not from this planet?
That's what he said. He said this didn't come from here. And he showed me his notebooks, or his notebook. He was writing things down as he was checking this thing out. And his impressions were that he didn't believe it came from our Air Force or anything like that. He said he thought it come from somewhere else.
Did he have any impression as to whether there might be inhabitants or occupants on the inside of this thing?
Well, that's what he was looking for. Something he could look through like a window or anything, but he said it was completely dark. He couldn't see a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it was intelligently controlled, he believed, that it had to have something inside there.
Yeah, unless it was remote controlled.
Yeah, it could have been that.
In which case it is intelligently controlled, but from elsewhere. Yeah. Did he see any antennas or insignias or any kind of etchings or drawings
nothing.
On it? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Was it smooth and glossy, or was it sort of a matte finish?
No, it was smooth. He said it was kind of like a black. He said it was like a black onyx, where it was just smooth as like glass almost.
Uh huh. And shiny.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sleek, like somebody had given a wax job, if you want to believe that. He said it was so sleek it looked like it had no bugs or nothing on it.
All right, now, where is Kokomo located?
It's about, from here, it's about 35 to 40 miles. And Indianapolis, if you knew where Indianapolis was, it'd probably be about 90 miles.
In which direction from Indianapolis?
Be north.
North.
North,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, now, has this firefighter indicated that he's willing to come and talk with you again about this?
Yeah, and I would like him to be a guest on your show if I can get him to do that.
Well, I'd love to have him. You know we'll be glad to have him as a guest.
Okay. If I can talk him into it, boy, you got him.
How long has he been a firefighter?
I'm trying to think. I think he said he was a firefighter for about 15 years or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did this thing shake him up? Was he frightened by what he was seeing?
Well, let's put it this way. When he talked to me about it, he was enthused about it, but he was kind of nervous that he said, you know, we don't know where this come from.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of taken back by that.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about the area where it sat down. We've got about 5 minutes here before we head off into the next break. So let's talk about the area. Is it a rural area where it sat down?
Very much off the beaten path. Yep.
All right, is it an open field?
It's got an open field to it, but it's kind of like farmland around there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he actually had to have, when they called him, they actually give him some kind of coordinates, and their coordinates was off, so he had to ask this farmer where in the hell the lights and all that stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him exactly where it was. So,
now, people that saw this dogfight, they're obviously on the ground looking up. So they're looking up and seeing the underside of these craft from time to time, and from time to time seeing perhaps the side view as they would bank or move or whatever. But when they looked up and they saw the underside of the craft, did they see lights up under this thing?
They said they absolutely seen one light.
Mm-hmm.
One light, and it was kind of towards the front.
Mm-hmm. Only one light.
One light. And, you know, usually when they see those triangles, there's usually about three lights on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they only seen one light.
That's unusual, isn't it? I mean, and you just said it is, but I mean, that's, I have to say, I think that's the first time I've heard of just one light being on these triangles.
Yeah, because I've seen triangular before, and they've had like three lights on them, and they, you know, it was kind of like in where the triangle would be, you know, kind of equally spaced, you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, on the corners of the triangle.
Yeah, exactly. But this one light that they said that they seen was towards the front of the craft, or what they seemed to think was the front of the craft.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made this firefighter decide to come talk with you?
I had a friend who is with my organization, and he had heard through the grapevine that this guy had actually seen the craft and so forth, and he told me about it, and I said, can you bring him to me? Because, see, I was still in the hospital at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, sure, I'll bring him over. So one afternoon, we sat there and we talked about it. So, yeah, that's the only way that I could talk to him, because he had come to my hospital room.
Now, I know your friend that's in your organization brought the guy to you, but is this friend also a friend of the firefighter? Did he know
no,
the firefighter?
No, he's not a friend. He's not a friend, but they've become friendly after all this had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't actually even know this guy, but he was doing some snooping around, and this guy told him that you need to talk to this guy, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down and had a long talk with him, and he said, would you mind coming and talking to Dick about this? And he said, absolutely not.
So he doesn't seem really to be too apprehensive about talking about this, except he does want to stay anonymous, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, he's pretty open about it.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty. Matter of fact, he says, he even said to us when we were sitting there, he says, I don't care. He said, what are they going to do to you? He said, we was told by the government, and he said, these guys flash badges at us. He says, I don't know what it said on the badge. It just looked official to him. And he said, we're not to talk about it. And he says, nobody is in charge of him like that.
Yeah, that's a nasty little habit Americans have. We like to be free. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. Dick, I'd like to open up the telephone lines and allow people to give us a call. Let me remind all of you that the music you hear on the Kevin Smith Show is independent artist music, okay? All of it. And you can go over to garageband.com or music.podshow.com. And find the music that that you hear on this show. Most of it. Some of it comes from the artists themselves. They send it to me. But most of it is over at GarageBand.com or Music.Podshow.com. All right. Now, when we open up the telephone lines, we also open up the flash line. Okay? So here's how it works. If you are, well, I can see that we've got a problem with the telephone. There we go. It's now beginning to work. If you are in the United States or if you are in Canada, you can call me on the numbers that we use most of the time. The numbers that we use most of the time are 602-539-9580 or toll-free at 1-888-223-4599. So you can give me a call on either one of those numbers. If you happen to be outside the United States, okay, you're out there and, you know, you're in Europe or Asia or Africa or Australia, you're not in the United States, you're not in Canada, then you can send me a flash message and you just send it to you just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see a link that says Flash Message, and you just type your message in there and send it to me. And we call it a flash message because it flashes on the screen whenever the message comes in, okay? It flashes on the screen. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from Northway, Ontario. Hello there, Kevin, and hello there, Dick.
Hello. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, obviously, you guys are doing all right.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, Dick, when I want to go to when you were with the AlphaCom team and when you had above top secret clearance to a lot of stuff. I want to know, have you guys, what can you tell us of what you know about the Anunnaki and Nibiru, and did you ever have any interaction with perhaps any Anunnaki that are visiting here right now?
The question, or the answer to the last, I never had any interaction with them, and I never seen any documentation on that.
Was there ever any talk amongst the people on the inside about Nibiru? I know because I know one guy that was on the inside, Bob Dean, talked a lot about it recently. What can you say about it?
There was some talk about it, but it was just like, well, what are we going to do when this happens, or what are we going to do when that happens? And it wasn't really official, but you could hear some of the guys talking about it.
So the existence of Nibiru is pretty much confirmed, at least on the inside.
I think that's the way I took it. Yeah.
Do you think it's is it a possibility that some of the UFOs that we may be seeing may actually be perhaps maybe Anunnaki, and that the power structures on this planet don't want to give the planet back to them?
That's quite possible, Kevin. They come from somewhere, so that's just as good as any answer.
Kevin, I want to thank you for the call. We've got to run to the next one. Thanks much. Always interesting. All right. Let's see if I can get my phone system is really moving slow. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hi, Ryan.
I had a question for Dick. I've never had any reason to doubt Dick. The things that you say, you seem like a pretty honest person to me. But I was just wondering, has there ever been anybody that's been able to see some sort of document or verification that can prove that you work for the AlphaCom team and this sort of story happened? I believe you personally. I've been listening to you for a while, but I've always had that in the back of my head. The question that I wanted to ask was, because it would be kind of sloppy research for anybody to just never want to ask for something like that. I just wanted to know if anybody, Kevin or somebody else, has ever seen any kind of maybe like some kind of documentation that proves that you work for them. I mean, they did that for Bob Lazar.
All right, let him answer. People. Yeah, let him answer.
Yeah, I have documentation personally that I could show. Probably ought to put that up on my website, but as far as anybody verifying, yeah, Kevin Smith could tell you one person that worked for AlphaCom that verified us, and there must be about a dozen people that can verify that I work for the AlphaCom team.
Well, I believe you, but you know, I just it would be bad research or bad investigation for anybody in the audience to not even want to just. I mean,
yeah, it's a fair question.
Just some sort of document or proof or something that so that we know that. I mean, I believe you, but it just for anybody that comes out with these kind of stories, most of them have to go through the vetting process. You know what I mean? And. Can you explain how did you get into AlphaCom? How does somebody just get involved in this?
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell you that. I think it was 90 or 91. I met Dick Hoagland, and Dick Hoagland hooked me up with Dr. Wolf, and then I was invited in the AlphaCom team.
Okay. Ryan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. All right, folks, the telephone line is open, 602-539-9580, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. And let me just say this, and then we'll take this next call. That's a fair question, and I think it's a good question. And now you said you might put this up on your website, your documentation?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, Kevin, because I had some other people ask me about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a document that shows that I was officially a member of AlphaCom.
Yeah, okay. That'll be a good thing. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Don calling from Phoenix.
Don, are you hearing an echo this evening?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's because Dan in Ohio, formerly of Canada, sent me the money to get a new mixer that allows us to separate things a little better. So, yeah. So let me give some applause out there for Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, on my behalf, too. Now I can hear myself. Well, I hear myself twice.
Yeah, and you can hear me for a change.
Just say, Dick, welcome back to freedom, man.
Well, it seems like I was kept in captivity there for a long time. And
it had to seem like that.
7-8 months. You know, I almost lost my life, and it was traumatic to me, I can tell you that.
Yeah, anyways, hey, yeah, this is Don from Alien Secret News. I had a question. You know, you mentioned that craft on the ground, that triangle, and you mentioned only being 2.5 to 3 feet thick. You know, even the Greys, I think, would find it uncomfortable in that craft. But here's a kind of an idea. Kevin interviewed a guy when he was in Las Vegas at that movie premiere. And the guy's father says, I don't remember exactly how the interview went and who his father was or anything, but his father had a chance to peek in one of these UFOs. I think he said it was like 30 foot in diameter, and he stuck his head inside it, and on the inside, it was the size of a basketball stadium.
Wow.
You know, Don, I had forgotten about that. That's Bill Rayling, and that interview, the video of that interview, is in our members area in the Video Galaxy. You're exactly right. I remember when he told that, I said, you know, that's kind of like you see on television Doctor Who goes into the phone booth, and then it's like a massive spaceship inside, but it's just a phone booth when you look at it from the outside. But that was Bill Rayling, and his dad worked security at NASA.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Anyways, I just wanted to call and welcome Dick back, and I'm glad to hear his voice again. I'm glad to see he's free at last.
Yep. All right, Don, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. The telephone line is open, folks, 602-539-9580, or toll free, 888-223-4599. And we will be more than happy to take your call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming, and I'm really sorry about the static, but customer service doesn't seem to be a priority for some people.
Okay, not a problem.
Now, I just have one comment about those guys with their hoax.
Mm-hmm.
You keep saying you want better script writers.
Yeah.
Maybe they're getting the clue and trying to come up with some script. They're not very convincing, but they're coming up with new scripts.
That very well could be. You're a sharp guy.
Goodbye.
Thanks for the call. All righty then. Yeah, maybe they're trotting that out to see how it works. 602-539-9580. Call that number if you have the ability to call without it costing you extra for long distance. You know, if you got Vonage or Magic Jack or something like that, call 602-539-9580. Otherwise, if it will cost you long distance, you can call us on the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'm kind of confused. At the first beginning of the show, you talked about a UFO over an area that had an earthquake. Is this the same UFOs that we're talking about, the firemen?
Yeah. It's the one that got shot by a blue beam of light. One UFO shot another one. The one that got shot landed. And the firemen...
So they think the black rectangle one was there first and possibly the cause of the earthquake?
I don't know. What about it?
No. There were tons of UFOs. A matter of fact, I think they said there was something like 50 or 60 reports of UFOs over this area that had the earthquake. They were unrelated, but we felt like since it was close to the Kokomo incident that there had to be some tie-in.
Now, when you say it was close, do you mean close geographically, or do you mean that it was close in time?
Close in time, Kevin.
Okay. I'm sorry, Terry. Go ahead.
If, say if the ones was in retaliation to the one trying to cause problems, and I was trying to figure out whether it was the round ones or the rectangle one that was responsible. Did the black one shoot back to the oval ones?
They were in a dogfight to where they were shooting. The round one was shooting at the rectangle, and the rectangle one was shooting back at the round one.
You mean triangle?
Yeah, and that's what I meant.
It just seems like, it's kind of surprising. It knocked it. It made it land, but obviously it did no permanent damage to it, which is kind of surprising. That's all about.
The firefighter said it didn't look like there was any damage to it at all.
The damage may have just been electrical disruption, instrument disruption, that sort of thing.
Okay, I just was wondering if they was just like, somebody was causing us problems and either we or some other race was jumping in and, taking care of business. That's all I have.
All right, Terry, thanks for the call. Yeah, it'd be good to know which ones were the good guys, which ones were the bad guys. or maybe they're both bad guys. I mean, who knows?
How would you tell, Kevin, unless they had black hats on?
That's true. That's true. Well, of course, if they were good guys, they would have the Arizona Cardinals emblem emblazoned on the spaceship.
Right.
All right, the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, 602-539-9580. Or you can give us a call on the toll-free line at 888-223-4599. The telephone line is open. Let me remind you of this as well. When you call in, our system answers the telephone automatically, and it will put you in line, okay? So you're either going to hear this show in the background, or you're going to be hearing music in the background. If you're hearing this show in the background, chances are you're next up, okay? If you're hearing music, then you're the next one after that. So 602-539-9580 or 1-888-223-4599 if you have a question or a comment for Dick Criswell. And by the way, you don't have to call in here and talk with Dick Criswell just about the things we've been talking about. It's been a long time since he's been with us. So you can call in here and just talk to Dick Criswell if you need to, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Kevin, Dick, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Good, good. I've been listening to this show, and some of these callers have been kind of harassing Dick a little bit, I think, on this AlphaCom stuff. But Dick will remind you, callers who are listening, that when we were made a part of this group, that we were sworn to an oath of secrecy. And that is a national oath. It's not just something you say when you join the Boy Scouts. This goes a lot deeper than that. Now, even though our contact died, I don't know if we're still obligated or not. Nobody's told me otherwise.
We are.
Okay, but let me say this, though, Mike. I don't think that Ryan was in any way harassing Dick. It's a fair question. He's just saying, he believes Dick, but he just wondered, is there any documentation? That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair, but in all, in this type of thing, you've been in under oath. You know what we're talking about.
And I can't
say a whole lot of things. I speak in generalities when I call you, but I can't go into a lot of detail, and I wouldn't. I don't have to prove anything to these callers.
But you know something, you heard me the other night when we had Paula Harris on and
Ron
Wolf called in. I made the statement then, and I'll make it again. I've done things I've been places, I've done things, been involved in things that I can't talk about. And I cannot provide proof. Not that it doesn't exist. I cannot provide it. And if I were to start telling some of these things, there are people who would say, oh, that's just fiction. You know, the guy is dreaming. He's got no proof of that. Well, it's not that I don't have proof. I cannot provide proof. I can't. And so some of these things, as you say, have to either be talked about only in vague generalities or they have to not be talked about.
That's correct. And don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not trying to hit on our callers in here, but Dick, since Michael died, as far as I know, is the head of the team. Now, he can make decisions that I'm not in a position to make. But I know that it was told me, and I should take this very seriously, that if you make an oath, you're expected to live up to it.
You're absolutely right. Mike, thanks for the call, man. I got to run.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, and that is a good point. But that, look, if you have something that's, you know, that shows you were with AlphaCom and it's not something that falls under that secrecy oath,
right,
then there's no harm in putting that out.
That's what I'm going to do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can see I was a member of that, and there's some things on that page that I'd have to black out. But overall, I think it would prove that I belong to the team.
All right, the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, or 888-223-4599. Let me say that if we have any of the witnesses to the Kokomo incident who are listening, and you have something to add to the story, please feel free to give us a call. 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, feel free to send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message. Just use that link, and when you send the flash message, it'll start flashing on my screen as soon as it arrives, okay? Dick, we've talked about this Kokomo incident, but, you know, it occurs to me that there is a question I haven't asked you about it. And the question is, as you look at the Kokomo incident, you've looked at literally hundreds of UFO incidents, and both things that have been reported to you with IPUS, and then things that you had, information you had access to when you were with AlphaCom. All right, now, as you look at the Kokomo incident, is there anything about that that jumps out at you and says this one's unique?
The fighting, outside of the fighting, that was the first time I heard it, other than when what's the name of that guy, Grimsley, was talking about him fighting all the time in here. That's the only thing that stood out to me, because usually when these reports come in, they just see craft, and they wouldn't see him fighting. So
now, this dogfight that they were in, how high up were they when they were doing that?
I would have to look at the records. I'm not close to the records, but
Do you remember if it was high or was it not so high?
It was not so high, Kevin, and I can't remember what he told me, because, like I said, I made a case file on it, but I'm not close to finding, you know, what it is.
Okay, Dick, we have to take a break. Folks, we'll be back. More with Dick Criswell and your telephone calls right after this. Mm-hmm. and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell, and we'll bring him back online in just a moment. Let me remind those of you who live outside of the United States that you can use our flash message feature. You just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, click the link. If you're in Canada or the USA, use the phone lines. That's what they're for. And let's open the phone lines again. The phone lines are open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Now, Dick, whenever you've been on with us before, one of the things that we've talked about has been the various types of extraterrestrials, the documentation of their existence you have seen, and you've seen pictures of about 70 types. And now here's the question. The question is, and I don't know why I have not thought to ask this before, is there one particular species that seems to be the majority in terms of numbers of them visiting this planet?
The grays would be a species, but I personally believe that the grays are what we call the helpers. You know, they could be on a working for a different alien group, because they seem to be the most common. Because they've seen grays with reptoids and Asian-looking aliens and different species. So I think that the grays would be the predominant alien.
All right. Now, do we know where they come from?
There's only speculation about that. And they say that they come from Zeta Reticuli. But I don't think there's any real hard proof. I think that was the literature that I seen, that's where they thought they came from. I don't think there was any hard evidence there.
Okay, now these, you said there's some Asian-looking...
Asian, yeah.
Where do they come from, do you know?
We don't know. See, we were going to get involved in that to find out where they come from, what they wanted, and so forth, and then the project was killed. So I can't tell you where they come from. I can just tell you that I've seen pictures of them.
Well, you know, I find it pretty interesting that there are some Asian-looking ones, because the earliest known city dwellers... And there may be some that are earlier, but the earliest known city dwellers were the Sumerians, and they were not a Semitic people. They said they came from the north, and they had slightly Asian features.
Right.
And they said that they were the genetic offspring of the Anunnaki. And so one then must wonder if it's possible that Anunnaki have Asian features. But having said that, the carvings that they did of the Anunnaki gods had more of a European look than they have an Asian look.
That is correct. That is correct. I've seen some of the carvings and stuff. Yeah.
All right, now, let's talk a little bit about agenda. Do we know anything about the agenda of any of these 70 extraterrestrial races that you saw the documentation on?
The only thing that I can actually tell you that I've seen something on was the ones they call the reptoids, the ones that look like the alligator and the reptoid-looking species. I think I give you a picture of one.
Yeah.
And they said that that was a hostile group, and they believed that they came from a place called, what the hell was that? Some place that was out out amongst Pluto or something like that. But there was there was a name, but I can't recall the name. But that's where they said they come from.
Mm-hmm. All right, so they allegedly then have a hostile intentions. But what does that mean? Does that mean that they want to wipe us out, or they want to simply take control and dominate us, or what's the deal with that?
Kevin, if they wanted to wipe us out, they could do that overnight, you know, if they have the means. That's why I said most of these aliens, if they have the means to get here, they could wipe us out if it was just territory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, the reptoids, I understand, are very, how should I say, hostile towards the human race, because they think that we're very arrogant about our knowledge. And they think that we're stupid. That was some of the literature that I had seen on that.
They're not too far wrong.
You're right. If we think that we're the smartest in the galaxy, we better think again.
We tend to be rather arrogant about, we kind of have arrogant airs when we start talking about the things that we know, as if that's a bunch. There's so much we don't know that it boggles the mind to even think about. We don't even know our own planet. And but then whenever...
How do we know that there aren't other dimensions? Kind of like, what's his name, Michio Kaku?
Uh-huh.
Talked about we could be in different realities at different times. And he said there could be several places you could be at one time. So how do you know?
Well, I hope that in one of those realities, I am a multimillionaire superstar talk host.
With women on both arms, right?
Oh, no, just the one. Mrs. Smith would be fine. We'd get her over here.
Okay.
Yeah, just Mrs. Smith and my little boys and we'd be good to go. But, you know, now whenever we start thinking about 70 races, Dick, you listen to the show and you've heard people call in and you've heard the questions that have been asked, for instance, about X-Files. You know, how much reality was there, and how did Chris Carter know that stuff? Okay, we'll get back to that in a moment.
Okay.
But let's jump over to a different movie. It's almost a comedy, but it's a sci-fi comedy, and it's Men in Black.
Okay.
You've got this agency that deals with alien affairs, sort of like immigration deals with human aliens going from country to country. Does something like that exist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I ran across it sometime, I think about in the 80s. And they followed me around for a while, and I got tired of it. And I made a stance, and that was the last we seen of them.
Okay, tell us what you know about them.
Well, It was like I was going to work this one day, and there was this K car, and you know what I mean by K car.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all blacked out, you know, the windows were blacked out and so forth. And I kept seeing it. It would follow me, I think, for about 10 or 15 times as I was going to work. And I decided, the hell with that, we're going to find out what these boys want. So I pulled over with my van and got out and cocked my .45, and these guys damn near wrecked and ran into a tree. And that was the last I seen them. It was all blacked out, and you could see they were in black suits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd even asked Dr. Wolf, what about that? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, Men in Black exist. And I said, yeah, I think I got involved with a group. And he said, they won't bother you anymore. And I never had any problem after that.
Okay, so Men in Black exist, but what about this agency that deals with the comings and goings of extraterrestrials on Earth? Is that just fiction, or does something like that exist?
Something like that exists.
Can you tell us any more about it?
I would say that would be classified. I would have to ask a certain party if I could talk about that, but I don't think I can, because I know the name of it and everything, but it's kind of like Mike said, you know, there's certain things that you can't talk about.
Yeah. All right, well, let's run over to X-Files again.
Yeah.
All right, now, there have been a lot of questions that people have asked about X-Files. And, in fact, we've had Dean Haglund, who played Langley, the computer geek, the computer hacker. He's been on the show a couple of times. But let me ask you, as you watched X-Files, did you see things that where you sort of had one of those oh my God moments?
Oh, yeah.
How accurate was the X-Files?
Well, the ones about the different guys that swam in the sewer and stuff like that, that was all fake. But some of the UFO stuff that they had there, yeah, that was true. And the guy that played the deep throat, yes, there was actually a deep throat.
Mm-hmm. And, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So Chris Carter knew something about what was going on. I mean, there were times I'd look at my wife and I'd say, oh, my God, he knows the inside here.
And how do you think he was able to get that information?
That I don't know. I quizzed Dr. Wolf about that, and he just said, you'd be surprised, and that was his comment. I didn't get anything on it.
All right. How do you think he was able to put it out without running the risk of dying of lead poisoning?
I think there was permission granted, because at that time they were trying to condition the public about UFOs and aliens, and I think permission was granted on that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they are still doing that, or are they beginning to tighten up again?
No, they're doing it, but it's more subtle, and it's not as indoctrinated as it was back in the 90s, because they were getting ready to tell. I'm telling you, it was going to be great, and then all that other stuff happened.
Well, and for people who are new to this, or they didn't hear your previous shows, all that other stuff you're talking about was the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think he was set up to fail anyway. I think that we were getting too close to what our project was.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. More with Dick Criswell and hopefully your calls. Did you lose your phone? And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Dick Criswell. Dick, we were talking about that disclosure was just about to happen. How do you know that for sure? Is that just your opinion, or?
No, it's not my opinion. I've been told by several different sources, and one of the guys is, shall we say, way high up in the government, that told me that disclosure's going to happen. They're going to try to make it happen with this Obama administration. And
Well, let's hope that it does happen. I think it would be the right thing to do. I think it's time. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tony from Alberta, Medicine Hat.
How are you doing?
How are you, Kevin?
Doing well.
Good to hear you, Dick.
Thank you very much.
Dick, I was wondering, is AlphaCon going to be started up again now that you're, since Obama's around?
Well, we certainly hope so, but it won't have the name AlphaCon. It'll have a different name.
But it'll be something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Have you been notified yet about this, or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have been. So how soon do you think it'll be set up?
Well, all the pieces have to fall into place, as I was told. And I think that they're getting ready. And I guess Obama wants this all out in the open. And I think it's going to happen. I really hope it's going to happen anyways.
Oh, that'll be great. So is Planet X still on the radar? Because, you know, this is talking about Planet X. Is that still going to end up being a problem?
I think it's still out there. But I think what they're talking about is the planet that the different beings are on that are coming by us every 3,600 years that Zachariah Sitchin talks about.
Right.
Yeah, the Anunnaki.
Yes.
And I think that's what that's about.
Right. And we still think that's like going to happen like in 2012 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. So that's not just a myth, huh?
You know, everything I've seen on it, Kevin, no, it's not a myth.
Does it worry you that it's coming?
Nope, because there's not going to be anybody that can stop it, I can tell you that.
Well, and see, that's my philosophy. If there's nothing you can do about it, why worry?
Well, it's like I tell everybody, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. You know, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, why, you know, why should we worry about it?
Well, yeah, if it comes, I don't think it's going to be a planet killer. There may be some earthquakes and some volcanoes and, you know, but I don't think it's going to be a planet killer.
And I don't either. I think it's going to disrupt some of the Earth's areas. I don't think it'll be everywhere, but I think it will kind of ruin some people's lunch, maybe.
You know, I had a guest on the other night that told us that scientists have discovered that the Earth's magnetic field is weakening. Rather significantly, but at its current rate of weakening, it will be down to zero in about 2,000 years. Well, it could be another explanation for that, and the other explanation could be that it's being caused by this incoming planet. And after it passes, then the magnetic field may go back to normal.
Right. I've heard that theory before, too. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the guy that I heard it from.
All right. Well, now, let me ask you this. How long does it take for, once it enters our solar system, it's going to make a circle around the sun and go back out of the solar system? How long is it in our solar system? How many years? Or months?
I think I heard some guy, and I tried to nail this down. I think I heard some guy that said it'd be in our system for 18 months.
Well, that's not very long. Of course, it'll seem like forever if it's causing havoc on the planet. Like that 18 months seems like forever when things are going bad.
Right.
Dick, we've got about 4 minutes here before we have to wrap this show up. You were talking about the idea with the last caller, the idea that AlphaCom, under a different name, may be reinstituted. They may start it up again. And you said that you have been contacted about this and that there's some talk about doing this. Let me ask you just a gut feeling. We won't hold you to this, but at this point, a gut feeling. What percentage would you say you'd give that? Would you say it's 50-50 or 80% chance it'll happen, 90% chance it'll happen? What do you think?
I think it's about a 90% chance to go, yeah.
And it would have to be pretty quick if the story about the approaching Planet X is correct.
That's correct, yeah.
So there would have to be a lot of information given to the public real soon.
Absolutely.
That means that means AlphaCom would have to be doing its work ahead of that announcement.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
So we could be looking at something happening within weeks or a few months.
Weeks or a few months, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you this. It was a real pleasure being on the AlphaCom team before, and I know that we'd have some pretty good times with this new organization.
Well, Dick, it would seem to me that AlphaCom would have to have, of course, would have a different name, but it would have to have a different mission than it had before.
Yes.
Because times have changed, and the goal would be different, I guess.
Yes.
How do you think it would be different? What would be the biggest difference?
Well, I think this time, the sole thing before was we wanted to find out who the aliens were, where they came from, and what the craft was like and so forth. And I think this time they're more or less looking for answers like what do we do when they massively land? Like I told you, 2009, 2010, we're close. We're right on that target.
Yeah, we are.
And, they want to look for some kind of explanation to tell the public why they didn't tell them before. I think that's going to be the total package this time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they told us that before, but just kind of back in our minds, we kept thinking, yeah, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this time they're going to be more open to the public.
All right. Well, Dick Criswell, thank you for being with us. If you will, stay on the phone line with me for a moment. And ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time. And that means that we have to call this one a wrap. We've got more great shows planned for you this week. You want to be sure and be here for each and every one of them. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.